Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, June 12th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my cool and awesome twin brother, John Abaya.
Hey guys, I'm very cool because I have my cool glasses on because it's summer, and I'm awesome, like this podcast. Is that my best cool voice?
Do it one more time, a little bit better.
Okay. Hey guys, this is cool. I'm cool guy with the glasses and cool glasses for the summer.
No, that one sounds like you are unsure that you're cool.
Oh, that's how I am every day.
The first one was very confident.
That's a dad every day, Ben. They're always unsure.
Yeah,
that
sounds like the dad
cool.
Yeah, he's just trying to be cool with his kids, friends, and whatnot.
Hey guys, I'm cool right here with my cool glasses. That's literally my
same
voice.
You're trying to be ironic now.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know.
You're the ironic dad.
Yeah, ironic dad now. Ironic cool dad. That's me, Ben. Yep.
Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is adding to the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017 list. I think we have about 6 things, but yeah, we're going to continue on with that. John, are you prepared to do that?
Yes, I am.
Cool. But before all of that, get excited, guys, because we had a new, teaser trailer this weekend. This week's teaser trailer is the film Black Panther.
The world is changing. Soon, there will only be the conquered and the conquerors. Step into the spotlight. You are a good man. Step into the spotlight. With a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
That is a clip from the teaser trailer provided by Marvel Studios. anyway, from IMDb, Internet Movie Database, this is the plot synopsis. T'Challa, the new ruler of the advanced kingdom of Wakanda, must defend his land from being torn apart by enemies from outside and inside the country. That sounds pretty cool. It was directed by Ryan Coogler, who is well known for his critically acclaimed films Fruitvale Station and Creed. Starring Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, Danna Gurira, Martin Freeman, Daniel Kaluuya, Angela Bassett, Forest Whitaker, and Andy Serkis. That is a great list of actors there. I'm actually surprised I could kind of pronounce everyone's names in there, but I'm going to work on it once the film is out. Anyway, John, you watched the trailer. What's your thoughts about Black Panther? And do you know anything about the character?
So let's start with the latter. Is that your ladder? Okay. I don't know anything about the character at all. Besides the fact that he's in the Marvel Universe and he lives in Wakanda and he's this king that we see in Civil War. But other than that, I know that their society is very advanced in technology, and I read I read Miss Marvel, and there is a storyline where it takes place in Wakanda a little bit, and they're very advanced. It seems like the most advanced society or city in the world, because they're flying cars, unlike, you know, New York, London, all these other places. They're not as advanced. And they have this material that the Captain America shield, the Vibranium? I'm probably saying that word wrong.
That's the wrong person you're asking to.
I think it's Vibranium. The thing that Captain America's shield is made out of. And that's basically it I know of Black Panther. I don't know anything about the history when he was created and whatnot. So going to the trailer knowing those stuff, I really like this trailer. It opens up in a weird way where Smeagol and Bilbo are talking to each other, and you're kind of wondering like what the heck, like that, and then
even the way that scene is set up, how the films were.
It has this their
interrogation
and scene basically with what's his name, Martin Freeman's character is doing it to Andy Serkis, and he plays Claw basically in Civil War. Oh, yeah, was it Civil War? No. Age of Ultron, Andy Serkis played Claw, the antagonist that was helping Ultron basically. he disappears in the movie, and I guess this is where he's at, and he's in Wakanda doing something. He's trying, in the trailer, it seems like he's trying to refine Wakanda because he was exiled for being a traitor or something like that. So you see that scene, basically. And then all of a sudden, the music kicks up from Run the Jewels?
Run the Jewels.
I always feel like that's an album name and not their group name sometimes.
It's both. It's basically both.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Black Star.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like, yeah.
But
the song is Stepping Into the Spotlight.
Yes, that's a perfect song, especially the way, I don't want to do this, but it fast forward to the end of the trailer when they actually show the word Black Panther and how the song has this glimmer or like the little sparkle rings to it, like the beat, and how it just highlights the Black Panther title is like very cool. And other than that, like, this trailer is really cool. They don't show anything about the story. That's what I like about this teaser. You just know there are people against Black Panther. Or how you say, T'Challa and his Wakanda group. And then they show all these different factions of Wakanda. That's kind of cool. Each one looks like it's represented by a different color palette of their what they're wearing. And they show I forgot what they're called, but the warriors that protect Black Panther.
I know who you're talking
about. The group of women that protect them. And that's awesome. Like, just to see that. That force to be, you know, messed with. And they show Michael B. Jordan, that I'm assuming is playing the antagonist in this movie. I don't know, but I'm happy that he's joining the Marvel Universe and he, you know, left the Fantastic Four and is in here. I mean, I enjoyed him in Fantastic Four, but I think this is where he will shine more in this. And yeah, I really can't wait to see an actual trailer, but I feel like this is enough for me. I think this is what I want to see in the trailer. Just sprinkle a little action and just show who is the Black Panther. It seems like his outfit even changed in this trailer too from Civil War that we last saw him. And it's kind of interesting. I want to see why did he change it. My only gripe, I think, is the ending of this trailer where they show him flipping into the car. And it has this weird style of animation, or it's all CGI, but it has like this weird, I don't know if it's raining and it just looks like a video game more. Like
I think they're going to probably iron that out.
Yeah, mostly.
Because they still have like almost a year.
Yes, yes. It comes out in February of next year. But
yeah,
that's the only thing that it was very off-putting, only because the style, the colors, it's very vibrant that contrasts with the black, the night. It just looks like a neon colors are too much, or I don't know. It looks like it was bleeding, the colors. I don't know. It just really looked off-putting. I wish they ended the trailer differently. But other than that, yeah, I really enjoyed the trailer.
Yeah, I'm going to echo the same reaction and plus more. I'm actually happy that Michael B. Jordan is part of this film because he's been working with Ryan Coogler for the past two films. He was the main character in Fruitvale Station and Creed. So it's kind of cool, like, they're making it three in a row.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's going to be like the, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio to the Martin Scorsese type of actor. Yes. So that's kind of cool. And I absolutely love this teaser trailer. It's not showing too much. It's not too flashy. It has the right amount of action. If anything, it's refreshing and it invigorates like to see black people as main characters in a Marvel studio film.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we got Luke Cage, which is just a television show on Netflix, but I was told it was great. But like seeing at least an entire cast of black actors and actresses in a film, in a Marvel studio film, is really cool to see. I think the entire teaser trailer throughout gave me goosebumps. If you know, like, from previous episodes on this podcast, I always talk about like representation
mm-hmm.
in films and media overall and entertainment, and it's to make themselves visible, you have to hire people who are represented by those people. So having Michael B. Jordan in the film with Ryan Coogler and as a director is really cool. And yeah, it's just really cool that you have this independent director. Once again, like, this Hollywood studios are hiring independent director to create these big budget films, but overall they're usually not financially bankable.
Mm-hmm.
unless you're in a Marvel Studio film,
yes,
or in a superhero film mostly. Like last week we talked about Wonder Woman, which is directed by Patty Jenkins, who also made an indie film, you know, 10 years ago. And it's just really cool to see these filmmakers getting this task or hold, you know, taking helm of a million-dollar film franchise. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's inspiring to see that. Anyway, overall, yeah, it's really great to see this coming out, and can't wait to watch it and review it when it comes out. But yeah,
mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yeah, totally. Oh, one cool note is seeing Angela Bassett there, because we talked about Master of None, where she plays a character, won't spoil it, and she was great in there. And just seeing her in a action film is really great. Also seeing Forrest Whitaker also in there.
Yes.
He was like one of the... apparently Ryan Coogler said he is the Obi-Wan to Luke, Black Panther. So yeah, great to see that. That is it for Black Panther. I believe it comes out next year in February, you said, John?
Yes.
Yeah, before that we still have the Thor film, and there's one more film.
That's it, the Thor film.
Okay, all right, cool. And I can't wait. I like how Thor, the new Thor, and...
Oh, Spider-Man, sorry.
Oh, Spider-Man Homecoming. I like actually how they're going towards like the brighter colors again.
Yep.
They've done it since the beginning, but I think it's more... It looks like a splash page from like a comic book mm-hmm. now, more than ever.
I think it's their way to differentiate themselves from DC at the moment, only because DC is mostly in the darker tones. And then like that's one of the things that people notice, like the color palette of both the universes.
Yeah.
But Wonder Woman changed that a little bit, so
yeah. Moving on, John, what did you do this week?
I watched a movie with my kids, and it's a movie that I didn't expect watching it, only because my kids really wanted to watch it, and I have no history with this movie too. So we watched this newest movie that came out this week called Captain Underpants, the first epic movie.
You are now the amazing Captain Underpants!
Tra-la-la.
I honestly didn't think that would happen.
This summer.
Come sidekick!
We gotta stop him!
What?
Out of the road, bozo!
Why, thank you, vehicle person.
Ow! Yep, we should probably go get him.
Their greatest creation.
Captain Underpants, you can't actually fly!
I take to the sky like an ostrich!
Wow, he is super dumb.
Okay, so on IMDb, the synopsis is two overly imaginative pranksters named George and Harold hypnotize their principal into thinking he's a ridiculous, incredibly dim-witted superhero named Captain Underpants. like I said earlier, I have no history of this. I never read the books. I never read the books to my kids. My kids don't show any interest of the books at all. We saw this trailer probably of this movie, like when we watch kids movies. This trailer always shows up. And it stars Kevin Hart, Ed Helms, Nick Kroll, Thomas Middleditch, Jordan Peele, and Kristen Schaal, and Brian Posehn. All of which are some of my favorite comedians are working right now. All of them overall did a great job doing their voices. They're almost unrecognizable at times. Like I didn't know until they started showing the names on the credits. Like especially Jordan Peele. I did not know he was in this movie until they showed him. And it's funny, he doesn't play a black kid in the movie. You think he'll play a black kid, but he actually plays a white redhead kid. He's kind of like the antagonist too in the movie. I was really surprised about that.
Because they do that because he's half white too?
Oh yes, but yeah. I wonder
if he could get those two roles.
Yes it's interesting they did that. I mean, it is just animation, so you could do whatever thing, but it's interesting they still had him represent a little redhead kid in the movie. This movie isn't for me. Like the humor isn't like that great if you're an adult. It's very toilet humor, a lot of poop jokes, a lot of pee jokes. There is a joke about Uranus in here that is very run on, no pun intended or whatever, in this movie. Just that joke is in this movie all over the place. I mean, everywhere. And then I'm just really surprised they went with it. And never, you can hear literally parents say, oh, like that. Like, why are they saying this? And I didn't really care. Like, it is a funny word, and they do it by, they don't just say the word Uranus, they actually say the planets, and then it just comes up, and that's a key factor in the movie. The two protagonists of the movie, Kevin Hart and Ed Helms, they play George and, oh no, not Ed Helms, Nick Thomas Middleditch play George and Harold. They're both basically best friends and in the movie, and they meet in a cool way, like any like a kid would meet your best friend. And I kind of like their relationship in the movie. They don't play as like most kids movies would play as, something will divide us in the middle and then we have to get back together. Like they'll get in a conflict where they don't agree on something and then they'll get back together. This one played it differently in a way I was very, really surprised about. And they actually just use the protagonist more. And the protagonist's name is Nick Kroll. He plays Professor Poopy Pants. He actually has a longer name.
What?
Yes,
is
yes.
Going on in this?
In the movie, he has a longer name. And then that's a thing too in the movie. He plays it great too.
Do they like explain why his name is that though?
Not really. It's just the overall message I got is in this movie is it's okay to laugh at yourself. It's okay that if you have this silly name, if you look like you don't look like a person that they, you know, define as normal and that you look funny or whatnot, it's okay. Like it's okay to make fun of yourself and laugh at yourself. And I think that's a good part about this movie is that I know like in the movie they the two best friends are they play like pranksters, so they always prank the principal that's played by Ed Helms, Mr. Crump, and Mr. Crump is portrayed as this person who doesn't laugh. He's very serious. He kind of hates Harold and George, but in this weird way, the magic or whatever, I don't even know what they do. It's hard to they play rules with the comic book world where whatever this thing does, it happens basically. They don't explain like why or how it works, and it's very just imaginative, and it plays the tropes of a superhero movie with, you know, like powers and such, like you get spilled with toxic ooze, you get powers and like that type of thing, but they just do it in a kid way and stuff like that. I have to mention too, like the friends George and Harold, they portray as comic book writers and artists, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I remember watching it in the trailer.
Oh, so yeah, so they cool, yeah. They show that, and they have issues of Captain Underpants, and the reason why Captain Underpants becomes real because of this thing they have that made him real, and that's how it happens. And in the
trailer, it's basically like weird science.
Kind of, yes. That's I didn't even think about it. It is weird science for kids in a way.
Yeah.
And basically, it teaches them that both sides is okay. Being serious and being goofy is okay at the same time. I don't think this humor was for me, but my kids loved it. There is a powerful message about schools and how we don't treat them well and teachers in this movie. That's towards the end of the movie. That's like every parent was like, and then some people clap, and I was like, oh wow, like how we take advantage of teachers and how we don't pay them well and stuff like that. I was
like, whoa, like they went around.
Yes, they just do that. I was like, wow, that's interesting the way they did it. It's a joke in the movie, but they say it, like they actually say it. And then I was really surprised when they did that, and a lot of parents, I'm assuming, just clapped because it's kind of true in a way. But that's a joke that would like no kids wouldn't understand that and stuff like that. Overall, I like the movie. It's I forgot one thing. So one thing I really, really like loved about the movie is they play around with different animation, and I like when animation studios do this or movies where they don't keep it the same animation. Like this one was all CGI 3D-ish type animation like you see in Pixar and stuff, but they actually play with it. They have hand-drawn stuff, they have puppets that I really liked in the movie, and other like several other style of animation that I'm very like fond of, especially if you just put it in this kid movie, just to appreciate the different styles and stuff like that. But yeah, overall I like the movie.
It's funny that you went from this like, you weren't sure if you if this is your cup of tea.
Yes, I don't. I won't like recommend it to parents like or adults like, oh, you should really watch this movie, blah blah blah. But I think I think your kids will like it more, only because the humor is in there, and my kids like just like the humor and stuff like that in it.
What would you compare it to, like, if there's any other animated film?
That's is hard.
Is it like the Minions
or No, because they Angry talk. Birds? Everyone talks. It's there are
No, like the type of humor, like
the type of humor? Yeah. Toilet humor, like pee-pee jokes.
Okay, just that's it.
Yes, wow. Yes.
That's what they're banking on.
Yes, that is what they're banking on is that okay. type of. I mean, the character is called Captain Underpants. So
oh, yeah,
there
true,
is
yeah.
a sort of what do you call that? Not awareness, but you have to go in knowing that this movie is called Captain Underpants for a reason.
Yeah.
And that the villain is called Professor Potty Poopy Pants. So yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I think I never read the book, so I don't know if those stories are in there, like those villains and stuff like that. I'm assuming they are because they have it in the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So you say just it's a good rental, I guess.
Yes.
When you,
yeah.
When it comes out for your kids. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on from that movie, I think both of us watched a film that came out this past weekend. So I watched the opposite of that, and it's probably less interesting. I watched the film The Mummy.
Welcome to a new world. Of gods and monsters.
I saw her. She is real.
Please meet Princess Amunet.
So that was a small clip from The Mummy. It's directed by Alex Kurtzman, who's well known for like writing such films as the new Star Trek reboot with J.J. Abrams. There's other films. I can't think of it off the top of my mind. But
he did Fringe.
Yeah, he wrote something. He's mainly known for as a writer and producer. I believe this is one of his only films he directed.
Mm-hmm.
I think he only directed, I don't know if this is his only film he directed now. I can't think of it. But it stars Tom Cruise, Annabella Wallis, Sofia Boutella, Jake Johnson, Courtney B. Vance, and Russell Crowe. Courtney B. Vance is only there for like probably 5 minutes. I don't know why he's in like the main cast listings mm-hmm. on here. For those who don't know, once again, here's a plot synopsis from IMDb. An ancient princess is awakened from her crypt beneath the desert, bringing her the malevolence grown over millennia and terrors that define human comprehension. Sorry, my tongue twisting this morning or this episode. Anyway, for those who don't know, The Mummy is part of this whole Universal Monsters reboot called The Dark Universe. They are going to bring such monsters as Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, the creature from the Black Lagoon, the Wolfman, who else?
The Visible Man.
The Visible Man, the Phantom of the Opera is one of them.
The Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, The Bride of Frankenstein and
Van Helsing.
Hyde. Val Helsing? Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, he's not a monster, but he's part of that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, they tried to reboot this universe like 3 times already with, I think the other one was like a film the past decade was The Wolfman.
Yep.
I forgot who that stars. And Dracula 20
Untold.
Something. Untold, okay. But all those two films were box office duds. And The Mummy follows that. it's not that good. It's disappointing overall. It feels underdeveloped and rushed. It's setting up this franchise called The Dark Universe. If I can compare it to, it's like this very long and tedious pilot for a television show.
Wow.
The action is middling. It's not as creative as Tom Cruise's other action films like, hold on, John.
All right.
Because Christina was calling. Hold on. So the action was middling and not as creative as Tom Cruise's other action films like Mission Impossible or what else he's done, the Jack Reacher films. It's very just typical action. Like nothing is as creative as those films. So it's just kind of boring in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's running from these large buildings falling. Like we haven't seen that before in the past 3 Mission Impossible films. It's like Alex Kurtzman just took the best of Tom Cruise films and just tried to implant it in his film.
He's in the plane again, right?
He's in the plane again and is doing these crazy things. Once again, I said like buildings were falling. So it's like, we've seen all this already, and it's decent, but it's not great, and it's not as watchable as you want it to be. I do admire some risks they take in this film. There's a little bit that is reminding of or reminiscing to An American Werewolf in London. I mean, I won't say what it is, but it has to deal with a best friend, if people know how that film plays out. Which is really weird in the film. It's like the Mummy tries to be funny, which does some like bits here and there, but overall it's like trying to balance from being the serious mummy film and a funny film. Like, Tom Cruise does not play a likable character in here. He plays like this arrogant and incompetent fellow. Like, he's supposed to be this action hero, but overall it doesn't feel like he's kind of mindless in this film. It's not like, you know, Mission Impossible. He's very clueless. One thing I do really admire is Sofia Boutella's like being the mummy. She does a really great job. Apparently, it wasn't supposed to be a woman. It was supposed to be a male. And then like the studios thought like Sofia Boutella would do a great job, which she does, but she's limited and like probably like she's the title character of the film, but she's only shown probably like 15 to 20 minutes in a 2-hour film.
Wow.
And she speaks like little, like she doesn't speak as much, like she has no speaking role. It's basically a Tom Cruise origin story of his character.
Oh.
Overall it's not that good. There's a little bit of shots out to like the Brendan Fraser mummy. Apparently, John, you told me about this and I read upon it, like the director wanted to incorporate the mummy from Brendan Fraser the first mummy.
They said all the mummy films from even from the 1940s or 50s are all included. Like, they're all different mummies.
They're all different mummies.
Each one tells a different story, but they're all in the same history.
It's all in the same canon. Yes. Which ponders, like, are these... But so there's history in the history books that the Brendan Fraser events happen. That should be in the history books, and this should be retold. Okay, so yeah. Anyway, I don't want to go off topic. This is also designed as like a Marvel studio film where Russell Crowe is like basically the
Nick Fury?
Yeah, Nick Fury of the group, where he's putting together this group of monsters. I don't know.
What are they fighting? Are they?
I don't know. Fighting against evil?
Are they just fighting humans? Is that it?
They haven't told. Like, he said, there's an evil that's going to lurk in the
Tell what is that though. Like, is it Dracula? Is that considered? But he's a monster.
Probably. There's a little nods to Dracula and the creature from the Black Lagoon. So I don't know.
Or are they, is he fighting humans that can fight these people? Maybe a monster squad that can fight these monsters.
That would be cool. I'll be actually looking forward to that.
A ragtag, you know, group of kids, or today kids, are trying to fight them. And
add the kids from Stranger Things.
Yes. Just take them from one something similar to another thing.
Russell Crowe plays Dr. Jekyll, and if you know Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, he plays a character, he plays it well, but it's like, oh, this is too many characters. There's too many known characters already. Like, we're already tired when Marvel does it. I'm tired when Marvel does it.
When they build a universe within another movie, like in their movies.
Yeah. Like what's cool about Wonder Woman, like she has no other, like there wasn't no other character.
Only the
like,
bookends setting are the only
up. Things. Yeah, there's no setup to another character.
Yeah.
Well, this is like, there's going to be a Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde film in the future.
And a Dracula and a monster from the Black
Moon. That's it. I don't really recommend it in movie theaters, but if you're interested, wait until it's on Netflix. moving on to the main discussion. This week's main discussion, we're just going to add on to the list of the 17 most awesome things, freaking awesome things of this year, 2017. People, if you don't know, or listeners, if you don't know, the list includes such things as... Hold on.
Wait, do you have the whole full list?
Yeah, I do.
No, even the ones... Because I made a full list.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
I'm going to start all over. So the list includes Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, the video game, the photographer Ren Hong, the film Get Out, the television show Samurai Jack, the film John Wick Chapter 2, the television show Master of None Season 2, the event of when SpaceX on March 30th, 2017 reused rockets. I believe you had to listen to the episode with the Bronzeville episode.
Or watch a YouTube video to see the historic event.
And Rick and Morty's April Fool's episode, which is they had released an episode for the new season.
Unwillingly, no one knew until last minute.
And it was on for 24 hours.
Yes. Not 24 hours, on for 7 hours straight, just replaying itself.
Adult Swim, yeah. But John, what do you add onto this list of the 17 freaking awesome lists?
I want to add a video game to this list. But the thing is, there's a little asterisk to this thing because I never played the video game and I think I'll never play it. Let's go back a little bit. In early 2000, there was this movie called Battle Royale that came out about a bunch of people, kids in particular, schoolboy, schoolgirl kids in Japan, killing each other on this island, and they have 3 days to get off. It's a good movie if you want to watch it just to see the team-ups and stuff like that of how they survive. And I was really into that franchise. I read the books, watched the movie, and I read the manga of that series. And I really enjoyed it a lot. Since then, I haven't seen anything like that. I know a lot of video games tried to do it. Hunger Games did it one time and never really enjoyed it. Because I think I'm more fascinated of just how to survive on this island of people. Or you're just on this island and you try to survive to be number one. So a game just recently released. It's still in early access. It's on Steam. You play on your PC right now. I think it's $30. And it's called Player Unknown. That's the person who created it. Battleground. So for short, they call it PUBG. That's a short thing. A quick way to say it. So like I said, I never play the game. But I'm enjoying people playing it and watching them play it. Just the thrill of seeing people against 100 people on this small little island. That's pretty big when you actually look at it. If you ever played the newest Breath of the Wild game, think of that size of scope, but a little bit smaller, but still that's huge. To just roam around it, 100 people just roaming around the area. So the gang has 100 people jump off an airplane, all land with parachutes onto the island, and you can pick different areas on the island. And you have, I don't think there's a time, but there is a circle that's closing in. If you're out of the circle, there's this energy field that kills you, not automatically, but it will kill you and hurt you. So it's up to the player to find the circle and kill the people inside the circle and be the last man standing. And you win a chicken dinner, because that's the thing. I guess it's like a winner-winner chicken dinner thing they do at the ending if you're number one. And I've been enjoying mostly certain video game publications. Waypoint has one with Austin and Patrick Kleppen. They're called Crowbar and Sickle. That's their YouTube video. Or more like, if you look up Breakfast and Battlegrounds on Waypoint, that's a thing. Polygon has one too, and they're called Awful Squad, and they have the various editors there.
Nick, Squad.
Huh?
Well, nothing.
Oh, okay. Yes, I thought you said something. They have Nick, I forgot the other people. Griffin McElroy, one of the McElroy brothers from My Brother, Brother and Me, another podcast, and various other people. They do a great job too. And Giant Bomb has one too called Murder Island. And it's their group too, not Austin, Jeff, Brad, Alex, the people on that side playing the game too. I think I enjoy the videos more because they create their own narrative in this game, with a game that has no narrative, no story really. You just create it yourself. And each one of those videos have their own little narrative to the game. And I really like it. They play characters that are just really funny, and they play the game not well, but in a way that I would think I would play it. They play goofy wise. They don't take it too serious, but they still try to win the game. And it's just fascinating just to see this type of game where you can be spectating these people try to kill one another, just to see so in the game, if you get killed, you don't even know who killed you. You get the name, but you don't know where the person is or anything. I kind of like that. You don't get a kill cam like you usually do in Call of Duty or in Halo. This one, you die, that's it. You can quit the game you're playing and then just go back into a new game, and it's really quick and stuff, and that's really cool. I just like seeing people do that. It's like a weird, not esports, but if this is an esports game, I think a lot of people will like it more, and just the fascination of the 1 versus 100 type game type.
Yeah, I've watched all those things except for Polygons, but yeah, I overall love all of them. It's usually the thing I watch when I'm doing stuff like work or writing or drawing, whatever. But yeah, I highly recommend people watching that stuff too on YouTube. Yeah, I wish we have a PC as strong as. Yes. Hopefully it goes onto console or even stream Steam one point. Mm-hmm. Is it on Steam right now?
Yes, it's on Steam, but early
but it's
access.
Not for Max, huh?
No, Max.
Okay. Hopefully they have like an iOS version.
Hopefully, because we're recording iOS. During E3 right now. Maybe they might announce it on one of the platforms that we have, like an Xbox or Xbox. We don't have a PlayStation.
Or a Switch. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, that's Battlegrounds, which is out right now. I picked something that I talked about in a previous episode, which is Kendrick Lamar's latest album, Damn. I don't want to reiterate what I just, you know, mentioned in the previous episode, but it's a remarkable album. It has many of the political, social, and just personal aspects of like what's going on with himself and his world. And it's just really great. Everything from the music to the lyrics to what is being presented to you from the music videos. It has this very hopefulness to it too, even though there's a lot of like material on there that will reflect upon like what this world is facing. But yeah, overall, I would really highly recommend that on the list too. So that's Kendrick Lamar's Damn.
And to add to that, for the listeners who want to know our review or impression of that, it's on the April 17th, 2017 episode.
Yes.
Yeah, you can check that out on your feed if you want to listen.
So that right now, that is 10 things we have on the list. That's Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, Ren Hang, Get Out, Samurai Jack, John Wick Chapter 2, Master of None, the SpaceX event on March 30th, Rick and Morty's April Fool's episode. We have the watching Battlegrounds.
Spectating
Battlegrounds, and the Kendrick Lamar album, Damn. So that's 10 things. We have 7 more things before this year's over. Once again, the rules, a guest could actually remove one of those things and replace it if they choose to. And then we have nothing to say about it. Like that's what they choose to do it, because it's a list that encompasses everyone who's a guest and who's part of the podcast. So we want to like have that as a rule into this list. Mm-hmm. Anyway, John, before we leave, where can they find you on the interweb?
You can find me on Twitter at Abaya Arts.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram on Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. If you have any questions, comments, or recommendations, contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Please follow us at TFA Now on Twitter. On Facebook, please like us. And, you know, add a discussion to the Freaking Awesome podcast.
You can, on Facebook, it's The Freaking Awesome.
Yes.
If you search.
Other than that, please continue to listen to our episodes. Please listen to the past episodes. That you don't have to listen to it weekly. You could binge listen to our episodes and, you know, watch, listen, play, or read the things that we talk about. Other than that, I hope everyone has a good week. Thank you for listening. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.